Let us pray. The Lord has promised us, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you to prepare the way. Send your Spirit to illumine our hearts and our minds that we might hear and meet your living word as the scriptures are read and proclaimed." Amen.
From Isaiah 11, 1 through 10. A shoot shall come out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. On that day the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel reading today is from Matthew chapter 3. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. So on Tuesday night, some of you know, some of you were there, we hosted, our church hosted Room in the Inn, and if you're a visitor here, Room in the Inn is an ecumenical ministry that cares for folks living in homelessness. And so we open up our churches usually and create makeshift shelters for the evening, providing a meal and a place for folks to sleep. And it was our turn on Tuesday, and I got to meet this woman named Phoenix. And when I met Phoenix, she was wearing all black. She was very sleek looking. She had on, and every time I saw her that night, she either had her black earphones on her ears or around her neck, and she was carrying around a black Steve Madden bag. And we had some trouble with transportation. The van that we usually use broke down, so Jamie made us use all of our own cars to go pick up people. He didn't really make us, he asked us. I got to carry three people with me. There were two other women, and they sat in the back, and Phoenix sat in the front, and the whole time we were going, there was not a silent moment. Just chatter and talking and laughing and maybe almost some tears and conversations about shelter and when I'm going to get my house and when and what's going to happen with my health and a variety of different things. But the whole time, Phoenix didn't say a word. And as soon as we got to Colonial, which is the church where we host a room in the inn, she took her bag, went upstairs, and then was the first person to come back down for dinner because there are lots of tables around, and so people can sit and kind of just get their bearings before we have dinner. And she was coming down the stairs, and I noticed she had this huge book, and then she had a notebook that was absolutely full, that was jammed kind of to keep the place of wherever she was. And I saw tons of writing on the notebook, so immediately I thought this is a conversation starter. I went up to her and I said, you know, do you write? And she looked at me like I was crazy. And she's like, what? I was like, well, your notebook. And she said, oh, well, sometimes I write, but mostly I'm just repeating. I'm writing down exactly what I read. And as I looked closer at the book, I noticed that she was reading the Bible, and she was in Isaiah, which is where our first reading was from today. And she was, every time she was reading it, she would read first a chapter in Isaiah, and then she would write it all over. She said that it somehow got the words in her body differently. And I said, you know, I noticed you don't talk to anyone. She goes, oh, no. I don't, you know, I'm done with people. I don't need that. I've been there. I've been the party girl. I've been out there talking to everyone. But now I just spend my time talking to God. I talk with God. I sing with God. I laugh with God. And God is so funny. She said, you know, you just don't know. You obviously don't know God the way I do. But she said, God has brought me into a time of wilderness. God has brought me into the wilderness. God told me to leave my family. God told me to leave my children. God told me to leave my home, my spaces of comfort. She goes, I got a daughter right now. I could go to her house. But God has brought me into the wilderness. And I'm thinking about the passage we just read, right, about the baptizer in the wilderness. And then she starts getting really passionate, and that coincides with the time when Jamie is trying to quiet everyone down to pray. But instead, she starts just talking to me, and it's been a while. She said, I choose who I talk to, but repent, for the kingdom of God is, our translation said near, but no, she said, the kingdom of God is here. And I started to wonder, is this him? Not Jesus, but, you know, the baptizer. You know, the guy, the kind of like hippie millennial guy making his own clothes, living off the grid, screaming at the top of his lungs, only eating paleo, locust, and wild honey. Repent, for the kingdom of God is here. Right when Jamie was trying to create a more peaceful environment, she started getting passionate. And I thought, how beautiful is that, right? This announcement that the kingdom of God is here. Not, no offense, Noel, or to any of us here, not in our prayerful prelude, not in the shops, not in Macy's, not at Banana Republic, not in youth Saturday, Sunday night happenings, but no, the kingdom of God is here. meaning on the streets or in this makeshift shelter, right here in the muck of it all. And for some reason, it's not quiet, and it's not peaceful, and it's not reverent. And I just love that image of the kingdom of God being present in the places, of course, that we often overlook. And I was with her, but then she was talking about repenting. And I don't know about you, but I kind of like clam up when I hear that word, repent. Because, you know, I hear it. I've tended to hear it from certain kind of people, from preachers. I grew up in the rural South, a little bit further south of here, from preachers who wanted me, I felt like they wanted me to just, when they said repent, they wanted me to feel guilty and shame and bad about all of the things that I'm not doing right and how I'm not good enough or how I'm just not enough. And I don't know about you, but I have all of that going on. I tell myself those things too easily already. And I also have our media and our culture telling me those things as well. I'm not enough unless I have this pair of jeans. I'm not enough unless I have this bank account or this position. And you see my thinking that goes over and over and over again like that. It doesn't stay with myself. I start putting it on other people too. Not y'all, of course. But I start putting it on other people. Well, that person is pretty selfish. That person's pretty annoying. That person talks too much. That person, and the thoughts keep going on and on. The things that I think about myself, that narrative that I tell myself, begins going on to other people. And so when I hear repent, those kinds of thoughts, that kind of thinking about not being good enough and all of the deficiencies, hasn't fared very well for me or for my neighbor or for my love of God. And I don't like to hear it. But I'm wondering, I know this is a stretch to think about this, but there is a possibility that the word repent does not mean the same thing in 2019 that it meant for the baptizer when he was roaming around the wilderness screaming it at the top of his lungs. Because if we look at the Greek, and I know we don't like to get into all that normally, but it's metanoia, and so it actually doesn't mean, oh, be sorry for and feel guilty about and have shame about all the things that you're not doing good enough. But instead, it means a change of heart. And more importantly, a change of mind. And for me, that's a wholly different thing. That is a pretty good thing. Because I get pretty caught up in my thoughts, my old ways of thinking. And they tend to be pretty limiting and pretty constraining. And they don't do anything to help me love myself or my neighbor or God. And this is where I really have a lot of compassion for the Sadducees and Pharisees. I mean, I know they're called brood of vipers in this scripture reading, but I have a lot, I relate to them a lot because, you know, they think, and the baptizer stops them, but they think that they can go back to their old ways of thinking. I can be baptized because don't you know who my great-great-granddaddy was? See, even things that we think could be all right thoughts, they can be limiting, they can be restricting when we think that those things are all that we are. Don't you know that I am a child of Abraham? That was their thought. Okay, I don't have to think about the fullness of who God has made me, but instead, don't you know who my daddy is? Don't you know who my granddaddy is? And I know you don't know how that feels, right? I mean, in a congregation full of generations of CPs and CP ministers, you know how many times I've heard, do you know who that person's grandfather was? Do you know who? And that's supposed to say something about the identity of this person who, yes, may have some aspects of their grandfather, but they are not defined by their ancestry. They're not defined by their relatives. And I'm wondering if repent in this context maybe is not so much of an indictment, but instead an invitation to let go of those old narratives, of those old thoughts, to enter into this change of mind, that we are not all of what our grandfather was, to let go of those expectations and to take on new thoughts that are a little more expansive, that are a little more complex, but are still beautiful, that maybe make room for positivity in the midst of them. And I kind of think I'm not the only one, because I was reading the very poorly strewn garland is something that we did this morning. Connie and I did this morning. But one of the things that you said on your practices of peace that we wrote down last week, there was a lot of be positive, meditate, be grateful. Those aren't necessarily concrete actions. Those are instead a changing of your mind and your thoughts. And we can get really scared at the end of this because John the Baptizer says, well, there's one who's coming that's greater than me. And, you know, we think he's talking about Jesus, right? And he says, and he is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And we can get afraid of fire. I mean, especially if you grew up in the deep south like me, fire is not a good thing. Fire is like hell and brimstone. It's that it goes with that old, well, new understanding of repent. But what if, and Nadia Bowles Weber will talk about, instead of turn or burn, you've heard this phrase, right? You know, turn towards God or burn in, you know what. She suggests turn and burn. Because burning is, in this context, is not a bad thing. It is a purification. It is the completion of us being open to this change of mind. It is a burning away of all the negative thoughts, of all the partial thoughts, of all the limiting things that say that we are not enough or that God, the people of God are not enough. And it's leaving only the wholeness and the comfort and the peace and the positivity and the everlasting love of Christ. And so I would invite us to turn and burn as a way to get ready, for the kingdom of God is here. Amen.